In the life of the late Bishop Taylor Smith, there's an interesting and very impressive story told about him on one occasion. It was during the First World War. Now, Bishop Taylor Smith was a mighty man, and you do have to go almost back to that period in history to get a bishop who has the same standing as he had. But when he was chaplain general to His Majesty's forces, a clergyman came to him looking for a chaplaincy. Instead of giving him a direct reply, the bishop looked at him for a few moments, then taking his watch from his waistcoat with a dramatic gesture, he glanced at it and said, "I am a soldier dying on the battlefield. I have 3 minutes to live. What have you got to say to me?" Utterly taken aback by this strange request, the young minister stood dumb, couldn't say a word. Quickly urged the bishop, "Time is passing by. Only 2 of my 3 minutes now remain. Is there nothing that you can tell me that will help my soul?" Still, there was no answer. The old bishop's voice grew very grave and solemn. He went on and he said, "We have 1 minute between me and eternity. Have you not a saving word to speak to me?" Feeling that he must somehow save his face, the minister fumbled for the prayer book. The bishop waved it aside and said, "No, no, not that." Because that young man had no message for a dying soldier, the appeal was dismissed. He did not receive the appointment. Folks, you've got to have a message of hope for the hopeless. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ brought to us in this earth. Here's a thief, a vagabond and a rascal, on the very verge of eternity. Then all at once, he looks at the crucified Christ, gazing upon him very intently, noting the fortitude and patience with which Jesus bears his pain, watching the look of pity for which he contemplates the mad frenzy of his foes that put him on the cross, listening to his plea for the pardon of the very men who nailed him to the tree. That robber's heart somehow is touched and melted. He thinks to himself, "Can this really be the King of the Jews?" As he studies the superscription, perhaps nailed above the Saviour's head, does he ask himself the question, will he one day as a king occupy a throne? Then he explains this, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in to thy kingdom." The Lord Jesus here at that moment, friend, is faced exactly with a similar situation to that which with the bishop placed the minister. He is called upon to preach the gospel to a dying man who has little time left. How does he do it? Listen to his reply, hence the title of the message, Salvation in 8 Short Words. Jesus said in response to that, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Isn't that a wonderful thing? Instant salvation for the whosoever will. I want you to think about this salvation tonight, just in this closing moments of our gospel service. I want you to think of this. First of all, salvation is immediate as to its offer. Verse 43, the word is used there, today. This man wasn't required to make himself more fit to come. He didn't need a time of probation. But right now, don't wait. That's it. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think that you can become a saint of God in a second of time. Church of Rome tells us you've got to wait for a long time. No, you don't. It's in a moment. Just in a moment. A few years ago, I may have told you this before, but it made such an impression on me and grieved me so much, I tell it quite often. I was in the intensive care ward in Craigavon Hospital to visit with someone. And I noticed a young lad in a bed, just couldn't have been more than 10 or 11 years of age, if that. And all around his bed, there were cards and photographs of a man called Padre Pio that the Pope had made a saint. And these cards and prayers were requesting that the Padre would pray for this young fella and touch him to heal him. And I looked at that situation so grieved. It wasn't Padre Pio that lad needed, it was Christ. But there was no Christ in that dead religion, you see. The Christ in Rome is a dead Christ on the cross, not a living Savior ascended and glorified. No, friend, you're not made a saint after death when some miracle can be ascribed to you and where you've been seen in two places at once at the same time. Oh, not at all. The old Salvation Army saying from the converts last night, I was beating my wife, but tonight I'm beating the drum. That's true, just as quickly as that. I know a man who stepped into an open-air meeting after the boxing in the Ulster Hall one night many years ago. He walked out, he was drunk. He walked into the middle of the circle of men that were preaching the gospel. And he stood there and listened, and in an instant sobered up, fell on his knees, and got converted. And it happened in a moment. Man, in the twinkling of an eye, he was changed and transformed and lived for Christ till his dying day. That's it. Notice the prayer of this thief, what he said. Lord, remember me. All he wanted was remembered. When you come into your kingdom, he knew now Christ was a king, and a king has a kingdom. And it was future, but you know, you don't need to wait. You can be a member of this kingdom right now, where you sit. This was possibly this fellow's first encounter with Jesus, but he grasped his first opportunity. Do you ever notice sometimes how long people sit in meetings? I'm thinking of a man in Ravenhill Church, and he listened to Doc Paisley for years every Sunday. And that was in the days when Mr. Paisley was at his height of his powers as a preacher. People were being saved all the time. And that man never came over 30 years listening. Never came. Until one night, he did stay behind and give his heart to Christ. And it's just as well that he did, because very shortly after that evening, he was gone. Something, friend, you can receive in a moment. Lord, remember me. Lord, save me. And save me now. That's it. Remember Zacchaeus, the wee man up the tree, the most despised individual about Jericho, taking money from his own people at extortionate rates. He came one day face to face with Christ. I often think of that encounter. He was anxious to see Jesus, and he climbed a tree. May have been boys and girls up there, as boys and girls would do in the tree, but that didn't matter. Zacchaeus, with all his prominence, wanted to see Jesus. He had that desire, curiosity perhaps, but he wanted to see him. And as he's up that tree, he notices the Lord coming along the street, and coming out of Jericho. I believe this happened on the outskirts, didn't happen in the city. And the Lord Jesus stopped and looked up. Did Zacchaeus think in that moment, he sees me? And then he says, Zacchaeus, oh, he knows me. I've never met him, but he knows me. Come down. He wants me. Is that what was going on in his mind, perhaps? But the truth is, the Lord did stop, did see him, did know him, and did call him down and said, this day, Luke 19, this day is salvation. That's the word we're after tonight. This day is salvation come to this house. It came to this house because Jesus came in redemptive power to Zacchaeus. My, he was glad that he climbed the tree. Now this thief that we're reading of tonight, folks, he had no tomorrow. He didn't have to tomorrow. He needed today. There's no tomorrow in God's calendar. Someone said, you don't have to clean up, make up, or scrub up. Just come today as you are. My friend, Ivan Thompson, Pastor Thompson, was in Abbot's Cross Congregational Church one Sunday night. He didn't want to go. But he ended up there, and when he got there, the place was packed. He was taken right up to a front seat. He was sitting there. And the preacher started to preach. It was Sammy Workman, I believe. And he looked over at Ivan and he said, just, young man, come as you are. And Ivan thought in his mind, come as I am? Can I come now as I am? Yes, you can. That night, Pastor Thompson, as he became, he did come. And the Lord saved them and gave him a tremendously fruitful ministry in this land. Oh, you just come today, folks, and you come as you are. In Hebrews 3, it says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, men can do this. People can harden their hearts and can say no to Christ. We will not have this man to rule over us. But this thief, you know, he saw it all differently at that moment. And even when he was first put on the cross, he was like his compatriot beside him there. He mocked the Savior too. But something happened. Something transpired at that short time that changed him. Christian, you know that for years you were an enemy of Christ. You were opposed to his gospel. You wanted nothing to do with him. Ah, but that changed. Then you wanted him. Salvation is immediate as to its offer. Christ is offered to you tonight, right now. What we believe is called the free offer of the gospel. And Christ is offered to all who will take him. But salvation is not only immediate as to its offer. It's individual as to its objects. See the words of Jesus in verse 43 of the chapter there? Verily or truly I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me. Think of that. Thou, a sinful, wicked, wretched man, will be with me, a sinless, crimeless, spotless, flawless Savior. What a chasm between the two men. And the thing that bridged it, praise the Lord, was Calvary. Folks, Calvary covers it all. The Redeemer and the Rogue going to glory together. Individual thing. You know, your salvation doesn't save your loved ones, your partners, your children, or your parents. It's individual. Here was a thief, and he was a detestable man. The word used is malefactor. I looked it up in the dictionary. It's a very strong term for a wicked man. He engaged in all the sins of his partner in crime, sunk to all the depths of his partner in crime. A detestable man. But he not only was a detestable man, he was a doomed man. There was no hope of a reprieve. Barabbas, he was reprieved. He got away because Jesus died in his place. But not for this fella. He was already on the cross, too late for a pardon from the authorities. Every sinner in this world tonight has no hope of a reprieve apart from Jesus. No other hope, we sung it. No other plea. None. For none but Christ can satisfy. There's no other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee and only in thee. He was a dependent man. Couldn't save himself. He couldn't work for his salvation. His hands were nailed and roped to the cross. And in his despair, and in his dependency, he turned to Christ. No other hope. No other plea. Have you ever done that, folks? Have you ever really turned to Jesus, trusted him, threw your weight upon him? Laid hold upon him. Like the woman with the issue of blood, have you touched him? He was a delivered man. Of all the crowds that were there, and I believe there were thousands, I believe we can prove that, but we'll not take the time. But there were a lot of people there. It took courage. Every person, practically almost in that whole crowd, were against the Savior. Not even the disciples, most of them, hung around for very long. But this man was willing in his dying hour to lay hold on Jesus. That's what he did. The fear of man, says the proverb, bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Wouldn't you like to be safe in these days in which we live? Safe in the arms of Jesus. This is an individual thing. It's just you and him. Thou art with me, the psalmist said. In the valley of the shadow of death. Preacher one day, not that long ago, a few years, was in the Holy Land. And he was told where it is believed that this psalm was written, Psalm 23. And he decided that he would go, and he took his two young girls with him. And they went down into the valley where this all was allegedly occurred. And as he was down there, it got very dark. In the valley, you see, the sun was hidden. And as girls, being young girls, they wanted to go back again to the hotel up in the city. And he told them just to go on and walk up the hill and wait there for him at the top. And that's what they started to do. They weren't very long away until he noticed that The girls had turned and at full belt were coming back towards him, terrified, running towards their father. And he wondered about that. And then he saw the reason. Behind the girls, there were these two rather large robed Arab men coming down the same place and scared the life out of the children, and they ran. And they ran to their father and they held on to him in the valley. Thou art with me. They were safe when they were with him. And then he tells about the girls with a girl in each hand walking back out of the dark valley until they got up to where the sun shone and they could see the city in all its brightness. That's what the psalmist maybe had in mind. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's an interesting term, isn't it? You know, a shadow can't do you any harm. I was a young fella and brought up in Tiger's Bay in Belfast. We didn't have the luxury of a nice bathroom and bath and shower inside the house. It was outside in the backyard. Wild horses wouldn't have got me up in the middle of the night to go out into the backyard where there were no lights, because there were shadows and they terrified me and I wouldn't go. In those days, one could hold on until the next morning. Couldn't do it now, but I could do it then. But I wouldn't go. I was terrified. But I learned as I grew older that a shadow has no body. It can't harm you. It's just a shadow. Well, look, that's what the valley of death is to the believer. It's the valley of the shadow of death. It won't harm you. And Jesus said, fear not. I am with you. That man was delivered. Solomon could say in the song, my beloved is mine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his. Praise the Lord. He is mine. Salvation, thirdly, is incomparable in its outcome. Why was that? Well, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now, there's a lot of views about this place called paradise. I'm going to suggest that, speaking of glory itself, but I wouldn't be over dogmatic. Some people believe in what's called a divided Hades, but that's another story for another day. But it wasn't hell he was going to anyway, that's for sure. And it most definitely wasn't purgatory. And he wasn't going to lie in a sleep until resurrection day, as some teach. And there was no intermediate state here, not a thing. It's today. Man, the moment you die, you're going with me to paradise. Isn't that a wonderful hope? Samuel Rutherford wrote this. Jesus Christ came into my cell last night, and every stone flashed like a ruby. I said, with Christ in the vessel, I want you to know, folks, you can smile at the storm. Henry Payson found this on his deathbed and wrote this. I might date this letter from the land of Beulah, of which I have been for some weeks the happy inhabitant. The celestial city is full in my view. Old John McNeil, a Scottish evangelist, found it in a railway station. After my conversion, he said, I thought that Greenock Station, in which I worked as a booking clerk, had been whitewashed. It looks so differently. Earth around is sweeter green. Heaven above is softer blue. Something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. Oh, it's true, beloved, once you come to Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's no fear in love, perfect love casteth out fear. I'm asking you the question, are you saved? I would know that most of you are, maybe all of you are, certainly most. But if there happens to be one, and you couldn't say for certain that you're a child of God, I would urge you tonight to come. What a prospect for this old thief. Lived a life of degradation and wickedness. Was going to be transported into the glory land where there's no war, no conflict, and no tears. Someone asked me once, how can that be? If you're there and you know that your friends and loved ones and they didn't make it and they're in hell, how could there be no tears? I said, simply because Jesus said that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Folks, there'll not be a tear in the glory. Plenty of tears down here, isn't there? But none in the glory. What a prospect. And what a pardon. This man, forgiven of all his sins in a moment. And what peace filled his heart. The book says, in the words of the Savior, my peace I leave with you. Peace not as the world giveth, but as I give. Tell me, friend, are you justified by faith? Have you peace with God through Christ Jesus? Do you know him? Are you sure? Absolutely certain that your sins are forgiven. If you're not, let me give you the invitation. Wait behind if you must. Have a word with us. Let us show you from the Word of God how you can really be saved. Taste and see, that's it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. May God, in his great mercy and grace, bring some soul tonight to Christ.